So maybe we can talk a little bit about MSI-high disease, and then we'll get into these specific cases. Well, so maybe you can talk a little bit, first of all, about what MSI is and why we measure it.
Sure. So we have these things called microsatellites, which are these repeats of DNA in our genetic code. Way back in the 90s, they actually picked five of these, but it turns out, to define microsatellite instability, it turns out we probably have millions of them. And when you actually look at sequencing studies and things, the major issue is that it's a marker for an inability to properly repair DNA. When I talk to patients about it, I sort of say to them, you know, when you turn off the review function on Microsoft Word, and you're going to get a lot of typos that aren't going to get corrected, it's sort of the same idea. And so instead of having your sort of average of 40 or 50 mutations that most colorectal cancer patients have, these patients have 1,700, 1,800 mutations. And it's really important for two main reasons. First of all, this can be inherited. And if you find a patient with inherited Lynch syndrome or HNPCC, you can save a lot of people in that family because these patients get colorectal cancers, gastric cancers, transitional cell carcinomas, and endometrial cancers. And if they put in proper screening, they could have a normal lifespan. But there are probably millions of Americans, millions of people across the world who have these inherited syndromes who have no idea. And so if you're able to pick up a case and you're with your genetic counseling, when you find one of these patients, you could really impact a ton of patients. The second issue is that these patients seem to have a really nice response to immunotherapy. And the thinking is that because they have 20-fold more mutations, it's easier for the immune system to recognize them as a foreign, you know, entity and to get rid of them in the body. And so Young Lee here, New England Journal of Medicine, just showing the waterfall plot. And as opposed to BRAF, it didn't seem to matter whether you had colorectal or non-colorectal. So these endometrial cancers actually had a very nice response and other mismatch repair deficient. And it's one of the first tumor agnostic approvals by the FDA, which basically said, if you have a mismatch repair deficient cancer, no matter where it comes from, you can use these agents in the second, third line setting. And so it was one of the first approvals in that sense. And the other big thing is if you look at the spider plots, which are kind of the lines showing the CEA or showing the RECIST measurements, the scan measurements, these responses can last seemingly forever, or at least there's many, many patients who stopped after 2 years, for instance, and are still doing well. In Young Lee's original trial, she did that with Luis Diaz, they stopped after 2 years. And those patients are often still doing well. So if you think about the implications, the patient could have a familial syndrome. You could help that patient's cousins, brothers, sisters, parents, and kids. Plus the fact that they'll have this probably a good response to PD-1 or PD-L1 therapy, you can have a really huge impact on someone. So the key thing is get it tested. Make sure you're either testing for mismatch repair, which is where they're looking at the proteins, or MSI, which is where you're looking at the length of the DNA repeats.
And just a comment on this graphic, if you notice the green and the gray are the mismatch repair and they go down. So this is a waterfall plot. So if it goes down, each one of these is a separate patient. If it goes down, the tumor is shrinking. If it goes up, it's growing. And you can see given pembrolizumab, most of these cancers, whether colorectal or non-colorectal, did respond in that situation. We're about to see a big paper be presented at the ASCO meeting. It's going to be a virtual meeting this year. But this paper comparing checkpoint inhibitors to chemotherapy up front in patients with this syndrome. And I'm kind of thinking, Philip, that after this paper, maybe people are going to start using pembrolizumab up front. Do you think that's the case?
Well, I have to tell you that I have already started doing that in my practice even before this late-breaking abstract which is going to be presented. There's no question that if you're talking about targeted therapy the way we like it to be, this is the treatment. The side effects are, yes, they can get side effects. Sometimes they can be severe, but overall it's well tolerated. Patients like it. You know, if you're using it every 3 weeks, it's a reasonable treatment. You don't need a port for it. You don't need to carry an infusion bag or take pills for 2 weeks. So all in all, I think it's going to be an interesting treatment for us, for patients who have microsatellite instability. And just to make sure that we understand the microsatellite instability patients or the patients who have mismatch repair, they can be Lynch syndrome, but they can also be what we call somatic mutation, that the patient doesn't really carry a gene that will pass on to anybody. And there's a distinction we can make for those patients, how we know that. So yes, this is a treatment that at least I will be continuing to use as a frontline. Maybe some patients I wouldn't, but I would say in my average patient, I will. And I would like to hear what Wells thinks.
Well, I'm going to guess that Wells is going to say the same thing, but we're going to move on anyhow so we can not let you guys get off on a tangent here. That's going to be a great paper to talk about, but
I'll
let's
send you
stay
a text,
on target
Philip.
Here. Yeah, it seemed like it should have been yesterday that this would have been done, but thankfully we have a trial now to prove it. You know, we talked about the fact that this is rounds. We're not going to be able to, we're just kind of doing a little tasting menu here. There are a lot of great things in the slide deck you should take a look into, including this case that Tammy had of a patient with MSI high. You can take a look at these scans and see how the patient responded. And there's a great slide in there that Tammy put together about some of the things to consider with patient education.